Well, I am very excited to have Miss Coach Rochelle Turner here, women's basketball coach at Murray State, and Carrie, the director of alumni, is going to do a little different format for us today. It's going to be a little more casual interview style. So please welcome and let's have a little chat.
Don't roll away.
Well, good afternoon, friends. I think most of you know me. I know you. I think there are a couple of new faces to me in the room. My name is Carrie McGinnis, and I'm the Director of Alumni Relations, and I am Tim McGinnis's better half, in case you were wondering. But we really always appreciate the opportunity to come and speak to you all, and I'm very, very excited about today. Because if you want to know what a champion looks like, you just look right in here and you will see what a champion looks like. So Coach Rochelle Turner, you have been the coach of Murray State Racer women's basketball team since 2017-ish. Okay.
This is year 10.
Year 10. Because you and I started them the same year. So for those of you who don't know Coach Turner, tell a little bit about yourself and how you got here.
Well, as personally, be celebrating year 24 with my husband at the end of July. We have two sons. Cadwell is 21 and Kate is 16. And to brag, I have no idea where he got it, but for those of you that know about school, and I know you'll understand this, but he got 2 fives on his AP exams this week. So nice. I have no idea where he got that. I don't even know what AP means. So I'll brag on him a little bit. My oldest son has joined my staff. He's actually a manager and kind of helps do some coaching and things like that. So that's exciting. I have my mom with me here today. She goes everywhere with me, Frieda Larimer. So if you like the outfit, good for her. If you don't like it, it's on her. She picks out my clothes. So
she's her personal shopper.
She doesn't miss anything to the point that my dad had cataract surgery this morning and she left him at home to cook. I don't know what that says about it, but he was very supportive. He's like, just go. I can't do anything. You can sit in this chair. So. But a very loving family, just very blessed to have the support that I have. I was at Murray High School for 21 years. Some of the best memories of my life building that program. It was very hard to leave, very difficult to leave. And when Alan Ward at the time came calling, I actually told him no the first time he called. I'm like, I had never even considered doing anything like that. And he's like, well, I'll call you back next week. And I'm like, okay. So he called back. We met undisclosed location, because if you know anything about Murray, it's probably about like Trigg County. If somebody saw you, everybody's going to know that they saw you at that point. So it was kind of a hush-hush deal. And I just kept asking God, is this what you want me to do? And so I kept trying to talk myself out of it. So I was like, I'm just going to ask him all these questions about things that I have to have in order to do this. And he's going to tell me no to something. And I'm going to be like, okay, I don't have to do this. He never said no. So 10 years later, here we are, just extremely blessed. She called me a champion. I am only a champion because of the young women that I have in my program. I have never scored a basket. I've never got a rebound. I've never got a defensive stop. Those young women are what make Murray State women's basketball, and I'm just blessed to be able to be their coach.
Now, you did, though, because you played basketball at Murray State.
Long time ago. We weren't too good then. Come a long way. But, yes, I went to Marshall County High School and had the pleasure to play for Coach Howard Beth, which is a legendary coach in Marshall County, and he taught me so much about what it takes to be a winner. And it really didn't even have anything to do with the X's and O's. It's just a lot of the little things that you have to do, and you have to be willing to sacrifice to put yourself in that position. So learned a great bit from here. Went on to play basketball and golf at Murray State. Back then you could do that because it wasn't a year-round deal like it is now. And Velvet Milkman is one of my role models. She was my golf coach for the time that I was at Murray State. And again, just a champion on and off the course, and you just learned a lot learn a whole lot from the people that are over you, and sometimes you learn what not to do. And in certain situations, I think that's been the case over the years as well.
So you graduated from Murray State with 2 degrees. So not only did she play basketball, graduate from Murray State, then come back to coach Murray State, which is always fun when you see alumni at the top of the leadership at Murray State. I think those of you who are alumni can agree. But you graduated in 1996 with your undergraduate degree, and then 2001 with a master's degree, right?
Right. I didn't get my rank one at Murray, sorry. Mm-hmm. I got it online.
Because
I was busy.
So once you made the leap from being a high school coach to being a collegiate basketball coach, what was the biggest change? Or what is something maybe you didn't see coming when you started coaching college basketball?
I think the biggest thing is time. This is a 365, 24-hour day job. And that was the biggest difference for me is we put in so much time at the high school, and we felt like we built a championship program there, but it wasn't. When the game was over, you drove the bus home and you went home. And then you didn't really, you went to school, taught all day the next day, and then had practice afterwards. This is 24/7 basketball. And I think that a lot of people don't understand what goes into it. That's like this, just this morning, I got to work at 7:45, and I have a stack of things to do on my desk when I get back, because schedules have to be done, contracts have to be signed, recruiting. I had recruiting calls this morning. So I'd say the biggest thing is the time, and it's something that you have to get used to, and it's something that you have to be willing to sacrifice. Unfortunately, I've missed a lot of my kids' things because of this job. And that's hard. That's the hardest thing as a parent, is to not be at a competition or not be at a game. Not be able to support them in everything I do, but I have a very supportive husband. He's a baseball instructor, so it allows him to schedule things. So one of us are there, and obviously my parents and my husband's mom is very supportive. But time is something that is precious, and this job takes a lot of it.
I know it does. So for those of you who aren't aware, so our women's basketball program at Murray State University has won the conference the last 2 years in a row. Won the conference tournament the last 2 years in a row, and gone to the NCAA tournament the last 2 years in a row. So no pressure on the three-peat or anything, Fletcher. But I know that there was a lot of excitement because you only lost one senior this year.
We did.
A lot of them were coming back, saying that went to the NCAA tournament the last 2 years in a row.
So. It's funny that you say that about pressure, because, and this is probably self-imposed. My administration is unbelievably generous in helping us to build the program that we have. They're very supportive, but I probably feel more pressure right now than I ever have. Winning's hard, and if it was easy, everybody would do it, and it's not. But once the expectation becomes winning, then anything less than that, you feel like you've let everyone down. So probably I think my players feel this a little bit. I think I felt it. So, we spent a lot of June trying not to focus on that, just focusing on the little things in basketball and trying to do that. But in saying that, I kind of lost my train of thought about what was your last
point? You only lost one of your
One senior, yeah, thank you. had a procedure here, so y'all was put to sleep. So I nod off or something if it doesn't ask me. But Briley was a huge part of what we did, not just in the scoring column, but she was kind of the glue that held us together. So only losing one senior is kind of a little bit short of losing a big part. Anytime you put a team together, the pieces change, things move around. So we'll definitely miss her leadership. But if we do not win a lot of games this year, it will not be because of lack of talent. I mean, we have almost everybody back, 4 all-conference players back. Hit the jackpot in the portal on a few kids, and we really love our freshman class. So it's probably going to be my fault if we don't win again.
So talk a little bit about, we had Coach Miller here several months ago, and there were a lot of questions about the NIL, obviously. That's a thing that a lot of people are interested in. I feel like he probably, as a coach, have spent more time talking about that than he do actual basketball. But talk a little bit about the portal, how you were able to win that jackpot this year, what you've got coming out. Your freshman class, talk a little bit about who you've got coming up.
Okay, there's a little difference between NIL's talked about a lot, and there's NIL and then there's profit sharing. Okay, profit sharing is money that the university gives you to allow you to pay players. I mean, that's just the truth. You're paying players extra money to be on your team and to perform. NIL are things that they can do on their own. Couple of examples. One of my guards has a deal with the Appic in Murray. So she'll get one free meal a month as long as she posts and advertises for them, comes up there, signs autographs when they want her to, things like that. So our players can seek out NIL deals on their own.
Which stands for name, image, likeness.
Right. That's not something that we can help them with. But the profit sharing is what the university provides. And like I said, I can't disclose any numbers or anything like that. But we have, 2 years ago when we won the conference, we had zero money. Caitlin Young is the school's all-time leading scorer. She is now on my coaching staff, and she got $0, which is insane. Because now, two years, going into 2 years later, we have kids making more than my coaches. So it's how things quickly change. But it's part of it. It's not a part that I like. It's still about relationships for our program, and I think that's why we've been able to retain our players, is because they want to be at Murray State. They want to be with each other. They want to be a part of what we're doing. But, I mean, make no bones about it. I mean, it is about money at times. I'd say more so on the men's side than on the women's side, but it's getting there. And so that's difficult. Jackpot in the portal. We got a young lady that's from Paducah, Kentucky. We recruited her out of high school. She did not want to be close to home, thought dad was too much in her basketball business. So she went to, I get with that. She went to Samford and was freshman of the year. And then we tried to get her back, and she was actually on an official visit with us. And at the end of the visit, she's like, hey, Nebraska just called and asked if we would come visit. And I was like, just go. You got to go. Well, she went to Nebraska. But they had a lot more shiny things than we do. So she was at Nebraska for a year, transferred back. She's now a racer. This is where she should have been all along. It's where she needs to be. She fits right in. Claire Johnson, she played at McGrathlin County High School. She's going to be an outstanding addition to our team. We had another transfer. We've been pretty lucky, and I don't know if people call it stealing, but if kids in our conference go in the portal, they really want to come to Murray State, which is, I think, awesome and a good sign. And so we got a young lady named Sydney Huber from Evansville. She was on the all-freshman team in the Valley, so we got another all-conference player that's moved in with us. And then for the first time, we have been able to recruit to this system that we play. If you've watched us, we play really fast. We score like 85 points a game. We play no defense. It's really it's just really a different kind of style. If you watched us, you agree. We don't play any defense. We just try to outscore it. We just try to outscore the other team. If you ask the girls, I ask them every day in practice, what are you going to do if that girl scores? Get it out and go and shoot a three. That's right. I mean, that's just what we do. So, this is our first class that I would say we were actually able to recruit freshmen to this system. So you're going to see a lot of 6'1", 6'2", even 6'3", kids that can stretch the floor. Give us a little size. We're small. My guards, my player of the year is 5'4". They're tiny. So we needed a little size to go with them, and we were able to do that this year.
What positions are they?
My little ones?
The
new groups. Claire is a guard. Sydney's a guard. And then we have one guard in the freshman class and the other career post. We really have like 6'3", 6'2", 6'1".
Wow.
That we're really excited about. We brought in several freshmen. I like the portal, and it has been amazingly good to us.
Yeah.
I mean, we have great players that have come to Murray State through the portal, but we're still about bringing in freshmen and developing them and trying to keep them for now 5 years. I mean, I don't know if you guys know that it is past now that they can play 5 years. So we try to develop them and continue to keep some consistency throughout the program.
What is so crazy to me and people that I talk to about the portal and the state of collegiate athletics right now is that you can't build, it seems like you can't build a team because as soon as somebody sees some success, they're gone. But you have been able to avoid that. So obviously, and they're not getting rich. The girls, not the women's basketball team at Murray State are not getting rich. You said one of them's getting a meal a month. Like, let's think about that for a minute. So what is it about the culture at Murray State that makes them want to stay, want to be there? I know Caitlin had to have turned down huge sums of
$250,000.
$250,000 to stay at Murray State University. Can you imagine? So
I couldn't believe it. I was like, I'll take it.
I'm telling you.
Can I be your agent?
But so what is it about the culture and the program that you and your coaching staff built that make them willing to turn away that kind of a career-changing money in some cases to stay?
I do think it's the relationship piece that starts in recruiting. I mean, we really dive into them. our staff are servant leaders for our team. It's not about what they can do for us. It's what we can do for them. And we help them in every aspect of their life. We're there for them 100% of the time that they need us. But, you know, we don't helicopter parent. They think they're grown until they realize they're not and they need help with everything. You know, we do life skills. We teach them how to change a tire, teach them how to change their oil. You know, just things that maybe some of them don't come from, you know, married families, and they haven't had a dad maybe that have been able to teach them that, or maybe they just haven't gotten around to it. So we do a lot of different things, but I think the true thing behind the reason that we keep them is Murray State as a whole. They love their professors. Their professors come to the games and screen at the referees. You know, people that pour into them on a daily basis. Our community pours into our young women on a daily basis. Our mayor's wife, or ex-mayor, I guess he's finished, does our yoga. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, she comes and does our team yoga. How many places have the mayor's wife do their yoga? Not very many Division I teams. So our community just pours into them, and it's just a place that they don't want to leave. And then they love each other. And that's probably the thing that I will remember most about my time, is how much these kids did not care who got the credit. And that doesn't happen very often. When you have four all-conference players, they're usually worried about who's getting the shots and who's not, who's getting the playing time and who's not. And these kids just love playing together. And I think Coach over here said it. You just tell that they have joy. There's joy in what they do. And so that matters to me way more than the wins.
You mentioned Gail, and it reminded me, Gail Rogers, Mayor Bob Rogers' wife, who teaches yoga, she's 80, yeah. 79.
She bent. I've never seen anybody bend like a pretzel like that.
It's unreal. But anyway, she's a past president of the Board of Governors for the Illinois Association. What's that reminded me to point out, Ashley, back here, raise your hand, Ashley. Mm-hmm. Ashley is on the Board of Governors for the Illinois Association as well, so appreciate her hard work. And I wanted to show Coach what friendly confines she was in today. So if you graduated from Murray State or attended Murray State, raise your hand.
Woo-hoo!
Okay, go Racer. If you have not been
She
supports.
That's right. He's a good man. That's right.
It's all good.
Someone did ask
my t-shirt. Up him. My t-shirt for him at the Hilltoppers, it says, I married into this.
So if you all have never been to one of our Racer women's basketball games, I really highly recommend that you do come. It's a fast play. They're so fun to watch. Obviously, they're incredibly talented, but they're so generous. And when I first started really paying attention to your coaching style was when I heard about the goal to score 25 points a quarter. Their goal, this team's goal, is to score 25 points. They're shooting for 100 points every single game. And so I watched that scoreboard, and I think they're going to make it. They're going to make it this time. So what went into that philosophy of coaching for you?
Well, that's where the family aspect comes in. My husband and his best friend, Ed Chapman, grew up together. And, I mean, they know every analytical stat for every basketball game, every baseball game ever played. It gets old after a while. When we got the news that we were moving to the Valley, we had just gotten to the top where we felt like we might win the OVC. And so I'll never forget the day that they said, we're moving to the Valley. And I started looking up the Valley, and I'm like, oh, my goodness. We're going to have to start over from scratch. We don't have the players that can compete in the Valley. And my husband and Ed came to me, and they said, we've got this idea. You're going to hate it. You're not going to like anything about it because you're a control freak. We're going to want to control everything. You want to call all the players. But let's talk about it. So they started throwing this analytical stuff at me like, seriously, it's about possessions. And you're probably going to give up some layups, but the faster the other team shoots it, the better, because you get the ball back. And we start talking about all this stuff, and I'm just like, my head's spinning. And we went through the first year of the Valley, and it was smack, smack, smack. I mean, we got smacked every single night. I think we lost 7 games in a row. It was miserable, and I'm like, okay, we got to do something. I can't handle this. I lost more games in my first 3 years at Murray State, I think, than I lost my last 10 years at Murray High. And I just was not handle it very well. So we started that the second year in the Valley. We started this system, and we had not recruited for it or anything, and we showed a lot of progress. I mean, we didn't win anything. I mean, we got beaten the semifinals on the last second shot by Missouri State that year, but we were just showing lots of progress. And I'm like, you know, as crazy as this is, this may work. And lo and behold, we got the right pieces. We went in the portal, got Holly Pope, which is Missouri Valley Player of the Year. We got Kezin Seacrest, an Indiana State transfer, and mixed her around our returners with Haven Ford and some other players. Caitlin Young, the greatest player of all time at Murray State, and we win a championship. And when the Valley was probably as hard as it's ever been that year. And then we come back and we go 19-1 and win it again the next year. And it was all on a whim, but it was just taking a leap of faith because I knew we had to do something. So I have to give them the credit for coming up with the idea and, you know, just me believing enough in our players. That's the thing. The players have to believe in what you do. Doesn't matter what you do, but they have to believe in it, and they just love it. I mean, they have ultimate freedom to go make plays, and I think that that's the best thing a coach can do is give players the opportunity to be who they are. And we've just been very fortunate to have amazing talent and amazing young women that come together for the greater good to win. They're about Murray State. One thing, if you watch our games, you'll notice we're probably one of the only teams in America we do not have our last names on our jerseys. I'm old school, and we don't play for the name on the back. We play for the name on the front. And so as long as I'm the coach at Murray State, you will never see our kids' last names on the back that are jersey. Not because I don't want them to represent themselves. It's not about that. It's about the fact that we represent the same university. So they get plenty of recognition. We brag on them a lot. They're on the news a lot. Everybody writes articles about them. So they get a lot of recognition, but I think that that sets the precedence of what we're about. We're about Murray State. We're not about me. Our overall culture statement is we over me. And so that's kind of what we live by every day.
First of all, I did not know that about the uniforms. I knew that they didn't have the names on them. I'm thinking, like, can we not afford to get new uniforms? Why don't we have our name? But that makes so much sense now that you said that. I really appreciate that. You said your overall culture is we over me. Do you recruit for that? Do you teach that when they get here? How do you make sure that that is something that resonates with all your players?
Success begins in recruiting. I mean, we have talked to Sunday school teachers. We have talked to people that are on the other team, other team's coaches of their bitter rival. You know, we want to know. We do our homework, just like we expect the recruits to do their homework on us. We don't always get it right, but I have 14 players on my team this year, and I promised 14 sets of parents that it was going to matter who I brought into the locker room with their daughter. And so it matters to us. So we do a lot of digging. You can't know everything about a kid until they get there. We think some kids are going to be great and they turn out not to be as good. We think some kids are going to be role players and they turn out to be stars. You just don't truly ever know. But we're not going to bring a kid into our program that's going to bring our culture down. My mom gets mad at me when I say this, but we don't substitute talent for turds. And I tell our parents that in recruiting. You know, if your daughter had to pass two tests before she even came to campus, the human test, and does she have talent? Those are the reasons you're here today, is because, first of all, she passed the human test, because it matters to us. And I think if you build a team around people that have the moral compass that you need them to have, and they have the right attitude, and they have the right spirit, and they're a good human, then you're going to get the best out of them. And that's what we've been fortunate enough to do, because I think our players are outstandingly talented on the basketball court. But I think the people that they are is even greater than the players that they are.
They are. They really are. I love those girls. A funny side note, I got to speak in one of the organizational communication classes this year, and I was talking about what we do as alumni relations, what we do and who we are. And I said, you know, we have these events for the women's basketball team. And I started going on about the women's basketball team, and all the girls start looking over at one girl in the class who had a hoodie up. And I'm like following their gaze, and I go, "You're Brian Pena."
I'm gonna call her after so this, because she's not supposed to have her hood up in class. She's graduated. I'll still get on.
But
we probably got home about 3 a.m.
Probably. And she beamed. But I just got so starstruck seeing her, and then we struck up a friendship, and she'd hug me every time she saw me. And you really do. And that's one of the things that has made me so disappointed about the men's program, but all over the country, not just ours, is that because of the portal, you don't get to know the players. Like, we've been so fortunate to get to know these girls, and we know their families, and I know the dads and their moms, and
I wish there was more of that. I mean, the family is really at the core of all the
things. It is. And I mean, we recruit the parents too. I mean, we really do. I leave Thursday to go to Vegas, not for fun. I'll be sitting in the gym from 8 a.m. to about 11 p.m. watching games one after another because the Nike National AAU tournament is in Vegas this weekend. And I watch the parents just as much as I watch the kids. I mean, how does dad react when she doesn't make a shot? How does dad react when she doesn't play as much? Because we have to get twink. We call them tweeners. We need kids that have powerful offers, but want to come be part of the reason you win championships and not want to wait their turn on a power four staff. Perfect example is Claire Johnson. She wanted to see what it was like. She went to Nebraska, played some, not as much as she wanted to. It wasn't the experience she wanted. The family atmosphere wasn't part of that program. So now she's back. So that's the perfect type of kid that we have to have to take ourselves to the next level. So, but we got to know because we watch a lot of the games I watch, the five starters are power four starters. It's the fifth, sixth, and seventh, sixth, seventh, and eighth person coming off the bench that we're recruiting. Because we can't get that kid. Mm-hmm. You know, my mom thinks we could get Caitlin Clark. She's all about, like, she'll name the best player in the country. And I said, I would love to have that player, too. But we only can get a certain kid. But we've just been blessed that we've just got the right kids.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I don't want to hold all your time because I bet there are people that have questions that they would like to ask you. So is it okay if we open it up to the room? Do you guys have any questions?
I'll make a comment on your success. Like, you can do that in a business, too. If you put one bad apple in amongst a group of people getting along, makes a huge difference. So you're a business person there, and you're not even realizing it. But it's a business you're running, and that one bad apple can ruin it for everybody. So I like the way you...
Yeah, managing people is the hardest part of my job. Sure. The X's and O's aren't that. I mean, like I said, throw the ball up, let's go. Mm-hmm. Take the first best shot you got. Travel a little bit defense so the fans don't boo us. You know, just a few things like that. It's the managing of people. But you've been burnt. You know, once you've been burnt with that one bad apple, you'll know exactly what everybody will understand what you're talking about. But you're only as good as the people you surround yourself with. And I feel like that's why my staff is so vital to me. The administration and the support that we have is so vital to us. But it matters in that locker room because they spend a lot of time together where we're not in there, and we need the right voices saying the right thing.
First, a comment that I used to tell players of mine, you're going to miss 100% of all the shots you never take. So your team is a good example of that. If you got a shot opportunity, take it. If you got an opportunity in life, take it. You know, take it. You'll miss every one that you don't take, for sure.
That's in your office.
And secondly, you spoke to it a little bit a while ago about when Murray State moved from the OVC to the Missouri Valley. Speak a little bit about you did talk about the level of competition, and certainly that was there, but how does that benefit Murray State overall as in terms of how the national audience views them?
Right. Well, you don't miss 100% of shots that you don't take is in my office. So that's one of our philosophies for sure. I think the landscape of the Missouri Valley opens things up more for Murray State, more publicity. You're going to see stuff more on the men's side, nationally televised games. I think our men were on like 6 or 7 nationally televised games last year. So you're going to get it out there. When our baseball team went to the College World Series, what World Series? What better publicity than to have our baseball team in the College World Series? I mean, you saw Murray State everywhere. And I think Carrie would tell you, it's about your brand, getting your brand out there. And the Missouri Valley allows for that. It is a very distinctively better, not to be offensive to the Ohio Valley Conference, but it is a major step up from the conference. I'm hopeful that with the expansion of the NCAA tournament, we can maybe start getting a couple men's teams and a couple women's teams in the tournament, which would help us financially considerably because of the shares of the tournament, so we're hopeful for that. But I just think it's the landscape and being able to get your brand out there that matters more than anything. And she might can speak more on the brand. I'm just branding one thing. She's branding the whole university.
Well, no, I do think, I mean, you get more exposure, you get more national exposure, you get more TV time. I mean, all of that is helpful. John.
I have a question. You talk about teaching these life skills to your players. Are you giving them training, I would suspect, on financial literacy due to this NIL money that's coming like crazy, and a lot of them don't know how to handle it?
That's a great question. Absolutely. We have had a couple different people from our community. Come in and talk to our team. We bring in different people because everybody's just got a little bit of different ideas and boy, they don't need to hear the same voice all the time. Amy Futrell from F&B Bank is one of the people that have come and talked to our players, and they've been tremendous sponsors of our program. Every player on our team gets money. Okay, now let's talk about what that means. I can make those decisions, like whether they get it or not. But we have what in the past has been called cost of attendance and Alston money, okay? In the past, that's what it was called. Cost of attendance is a number that the NCAA regulates that you can give your players for cost of living. And so that's a cost of living amount. Then Alston money is academic incentive money, so they would have a contract that if they got a certain GPA, if they passed all NCAA drug tests, they didn't have any academic fraud, they did what they were supposed to do, then twice a year, they would get a check for like $29.80, something weird, a weird number. It's almost $6,000. And so that all lumped into profit sharing when all this happened. Well, if you're on my team, you get that money. So every one of our players gets around $13,000 above their scholarship. So every one of them need financial literacy. Every one of them are getting checks each month. Some of them have never seen that much money before. So that's 100% of the things that we do. We have a young lady on our team that has a kid. Charnice has a little girl just turned three in June, I believe. So she's already got stuff set up for her, as she gets older, and we had people in the community help her with that. One of our players already has a Roth IRA started. So, I mean, they learn a lot through this process, and to be able to do that. We have a young lady that's setting up an LLC to brand herself. So that's teaching her how to brand yourself, because they are individual contract. I mean, it's crazy that you think of a college women's basketball player as an individual contract, but that's what it is at this point. So I've learned a lot through this. Like, I mean, I've learned some different ideas and some different things to do, but I think that you have to guide them. Because if you don't, they're just like any other girl. They're going to buy the newest pair of shoes. They get their eyebrows or eyelashes done. They get their fingernails fine. They're going to spend it if we're not financially savvy. But we're going to have young women that graduate from Murray State in a pretty good position.
Oh, how does the NIL money come to them? Does it come lump sum or is it in payments?
The profit sharing is done by a term sheet. So we do ours in 11-month term sheet. So let's just go with the 13,000, which is kind of an odd number, and I'm that bad at math. But so they would get a little over $1,000 from July through the end of school, through May. Now, if you go on the portal, guess what? You don't get those last few payments. So that's one way you kind of set it up for retention. Obviously, we have young women that get more than that. So it's broken down into payments. Now, the NIL is totally between them and the business, or them and whoever they do that with. So they have contracts for all that. So like the young lady that gets up one meal a month or whatever, it's contracted that she gets a meal a month, and in place of that meal, she has to do something. See, that's the difference. Profit sharing, you just gotta show up. NIL, you gotta do something for that company. So if somebody in town gives one of our men's players a truck, they've gotta do something for that. There's gotta be payback, because everything that's over $600 has to go through a thing called NCAA Go, and the NCAA has to approve it, but you have to show that you've done something. And it can simply be a social media post. Thank you, David Taylor. You know, I mean, it could be something small. But like in our situation, our young lady goes and signs autographs at different times of the year. She posts about that particular restaurant and stuff that, to drive advertisement. Did that answer your question?
Pretty much.
Okay.
Because I've heard horror stories about people supposedly getting big and out of money. The first time they just got to buy a brand new truck or something.
Oh, that's, it happens. I mean, yeah, it happens. Now, again, I will bring you down to earth a little bit on the women's side. Okay. I'm not saying it's not life-changing money, because I'm to the age any money helps, but it's a little bit different. From one end of the hall to the other, it's substantially different. But again, we've been blessed and we've been able to do a lot of things with what our administrators have given us.
I think we have time for one more.
What do you think? Do you think the transfer portal is going to keep churning out players, turning over so much, or is it going to start to settle down a little bit? I'm from Alabama, and UAB is my school, mm-hmm. and you know, we won 20 games, won our tournament. Everybody transferred out.
Yeah. Unfortunately, until the NCAA does something, I don't see it slowing down. Now, there is talk that they're going to pass a one-time transfer rule. I think that needs to be done. I think kids have the right to leave a bad situation, but we have kids going every single year to the highest bidder. And I think that, it's as much on the women's side in the big time level, but on the men's side, it doesn't matter. If you're the worst team in Division I or the best team in Division I, you're getting a new roster every year. Mm-hmm. And until the NCAA regulates that in some way, it's not going to change. Because I don't deal with agents very often. I actually don't deal with them at all, because I don't have to, because I'm not going to. I mean, that's kind of the decision I've made. So for the first time in the portal this spring, I had two kids. When I called them to inquire about them, they said, you could talk to my agent. And I said, well, I appreciate your time, but we're not interested. That's all the men deal with. I mean, the men's coaches may not even talk to the kid.
Well, you know,
I mean, it's a strange world of basketball that we're in. I would not trade places. I mean, everybody's like, why don't you go? Why don't you take a bigger job? No, this is big enough. This is about all I can handle. And it's a lot. And we're a small fish, you know, in a big pond. Could you imagine in Alabama those guys go through?
Well, see, at Alabama, to some degree, all of this transfer portal and NIL money cost us Nick Saban.
A lot of the older coaches are getting out because of it. Because like I said, when you call a kid, I want to talk to that kid about them. I want to talk to that kid about, you know, what are your interests? What would you bring to our program? Not just on the basketball floor, but what would you bring to the culture of our program? You know, what do you want to major in? You know, what kind of alumni would you make? Because I don't need her on my back. So, you know, what kind of person are you? What are your dreams? What are your aspirations? And the first question out of their mouth is, what is your financial package? Well, that tells me all I need to know. That kid's not about Murray State. That kid's not about coming to make us a championship program. That kid's about them. And so that turns me off. But, I mean, you're not going to get kids these days if you don't pay them. That's just the bottom line truth, and it's totally out of hand. But the NCAA is the only people that can stop it, and I don't know that they will, because they get sued every time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I invite you all to come, because we try not to miss a game, and they're a blast.
They're the most entertaining.
They are fun to watch.
Yes.
It's free.
I'll buy anybody's ticket to the women's game.
How do they, Coach, how do they determine what games are streams that you all play in? How is that?
All of our games are on ESPN Plus, but that's not a paid make money for your school network. The league decides those. The league and the affiliated station. We don't get very many. The women's side doesn't get nearly as many.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, our championship game is on ESPNU or an ESPN affiliate for the tournament, but that's about all. It's more about men's basketball, because that's where the money is.
This is where the championships are, though.
Yeah.
It's all a bar. No pressure. Appreciate it.
Coach Turner, thank you so much.